Welcome to the Friends with Money podcast, brought to you by Money Magazine, creating financial freedom for Australians since 1999.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Friends with Money podcast. My name is Michelle Baltazar, Editor-in-Chief here at Money Magazine. Thank you for joining us. Today, we're talking about how to use a budgeting app to help you save money. To talk us through that is Chris Davant, Head of Product at Frollo. If you haven't come across Frollo before, it is a fintech company that offers a free money management app that gives its users the ability to sync your accounts from a variety of institutions, whether it's banks, all in the one place. It also provides a range of tools and insights to help them track and manage their money. Now, on average, according to Frollo's research, users save $1,000 when they sign up to Frollo's app. So I think that is an easy win. You know, we're trying to look for ways to save money. And this says, well, you just have to use a budgeting app and that would be a $1,100 in savings. To explain more about that, I'm glad that Chris can join us today. Chris, thanks for joining us.
Hi, Michelle. Thank you for having me.
No worries. Chris, just a bit of background on Frollo. We're always happy to support homegrown businesses. Frollo was born, you know, 4 or 5 years ago. And from a very small team, you've now grown to a staff of 55. So congratulations. You're apparently employee number 4.
Yes, I am. So definitely a great journey, and we've got plenty more to do.
So how many users are there?
So we have 150,000 users on our B2C platform, so the one that you can download free today from the app stores.
So let's get straight into it. Like, how can you save hundreds of dollars using a budgeting app?
Okay, yeah, that's a good question. So on average, our users save $1,288 in the first 3 months of using Frollo. And I think the main principle behind it is just being conscious of your money. So many people have multiple relationships with banks. And so that means that they have money stored in, let's just say, NAB, and a little bit of money stored in CBA and maybe another credit card somewhere else. And so with our platform and our app, we're able to see that all in one view. And then we've enriched those transactions, we categorize them into groups, and we put them into buckets. I think the first part is just obviously seeing everything all in one place and being able to visualize that money being grouped into different buckets. And so that's just the base case. And so when you're more conscious of where you spend and where your money's going into, when you go to the shop, you become a little bit more conscious of the way that you spend. And that's just the start of the journey. The next part of the journey is about having the feature sets that you want, whether it be saving for a goal, whether it be setting up a budget, or having a number of different challenges and nudges that just steer you in the right way. And that's where our technology comes into play to kind of really personalize the experience for the consumer.
That's right. I think when you, especially now that we're kind of in a cashless society, so we really can't keep track of what's going on and just having it in that one place. Now, one of the things that our readers are always interested in looking at is really household spending. You know, how do they stack up compared to everyone else? Are we spending more? Are we spending less? And no prize in saying that we've all been feeling the pinch of rising inflation. The ABS, the Australian Bureau of Statistics, share a lot of data around what we spend on groceries, what we spend on petrol, for example. But Frollo also have access to this kind of general data. Can you share any of the trends that might be useful for people to kind of think about? I guess we'll start with groceries.
What we've done is we've been able to look at the transactional data that we have in 2021 and compare it to 2022. And this is where our findings come from, so from our user base. So what we've noticed is that in groceries, there's been an increase of 11% from year on year. You know, it's quite a big change, especially if you add, you know, people with their mortgages as well.
Yes.
So 11%, you know, really does hit the pockets.
That's huge. That is a big difference. I mean, if you look at What the ABS is saying, the Australian Bureau of Statistics, they're saying it's only up 1.8%. And I'm thinking, I'm pretty sure when I was buying my groceries at Aldi, I can get more for, you know, $300. Now you cannot fill a trolley with that amount.
100%. And I mean, because, I mean, the statistics I give you are people who probably are more conscious of their money because they have our app, and they're probably trying to make those right decisions, which is to reduce their spend. It's just that the meat that they bought last year is not the same as the meat they're buying today. So it really does show that, you know, it's, you know, prices are increasing.
So that's groceries. And now we've been talking about this for months, but petrol, how much are people spending these days?
Yeah, so an average user last year spent $101 in the month on average, and now they're spending $120 per month, which is an increase of 18%.
Ouch.
Which is, you know, once again, you add that, you know, most people need to travel, most people need to eat, and same, you know, large proportion. And, you know, both of those being increased by significant amounts is definitely going to hit the pocket and consumer sentiment.
In many ways, the increase in prices of food or petrol is out of our control. But I know that we've kind of been in the middle of this renovation frenzy in Australia. Everyone's been doing renovations. And you also have data around this. So how much have we spent on home improvement and renovations?
Yeah, so we do track that. And I definitely will say I'm a bit guilty of that as I've spent more time at home. And we've seen a 90% increase on year-on-year for spend per month. So that is massive. So, you know, Australians now across our platform are spending $285 per month on home renos and maintenance. And that's obviously extrapolated from a year and then reduced into monthly chunks.
Does that cover expenses on water damage? For example, we've had unusual weather as well of late. Or is it really just home improvement? What lessons can we take away from this?
So this would cover your Bunnings expenses or maybe your gardening, but also depending on this would cover if you spent your own money to fix your place or built a service supplier to come in to, you know, a plumber, etc. So these would all be covered within that.
$285 a month, that's huge. And now finally, insurance. Now, not a lot of people talk about insurance, but here at Money, we're definitely pro talking about how can you protect your family in case of emergencies or illness. But tell us a little bit more. Are we talking about car insurance or home insurance?
Yeah, so we're talking about insurance in general. So that would be medical and general and car insurance. So that's all wrapped into one. And we've seen an increase of that by 11% year on year.
So these are all double digit increases. So now we're paying extra on groceries, petrol, insurance, home reno. Does this mean that savings are a little low? Have you seen any trends as well?
Yeah, we've definitely seen decreases in trends. I can't speak about the exact number because I don't have it at hand. But, you know, there were definitely increases in savings in 2020 and in 2021 due to lockdowns, obviously, and the ability not to be able to spend as much money. So, but that savings is starting to be eroded because of all these increases in prices.
So with all that info, how can you kind of use that to help your users manage their money better? Are there any tools or do you have any insights or articles within the app that would help them?
Yeah, so I mean, we have a bunch of different insights along the way, just so, you know, that may be, you know, how far your savings is going to go based on your living expenses to, you know, you've spent 20% more than your average on a merchant like Bunnings. And these are all nudges to kind of instill a mindset to be a little bit more conscious. We have a number of different tool sets. So whether it be a bill tracker so that you can track your bills, you can see what's coming forward. We also have budgets, budget by category. So, you know, that you can be conscious of your spend and how you're progressing through a week, a fortnight, your pay cycle, or a month. And we have you know, we're going to introduce challenges along the way. This is a feature that we had before, which is just, you know, can you challenge yourself to save a little bit more money this week? You know, take the bus instead of catching the Uber. So this is all about, you know, for us, it's about making people feel good about money and also making it a little bit more engaging than what we usually classically see with spreadsheets.
I love it. I think people love those, you know, goals, setting goals or creating all these challenges. I know that there's one called the $20 a day grocery challenge where you only try to spend $20 for a meal for two. So that's always...
That's a challenge.
Yeah,
that is a challenge.
Yeah, that's always fun to watch. You know, you can only eat 2 minute noodles for so long with the $20.
Agreed.
And then... just a little bit on the for new users, those who haven't heard of Frollo or those who don't really want to use a budgeting app, because one of the things that people have to do is to provide access to their banks. So tell us how it's evolved since Frollo started.
Oh, yeah, that's a very good question. So, I mean, we've, like many budgeting apps, we've used a screen scraping technology. And the way that works for a simple way, a simple approach, is that you would put your username and password in, and essentially that logs into your app, your banking platform. It's able to extract the transactions and then be able to bring it in and be displayed in the app that you classically had. So, you know, we definitely see a massive drop off of people because, you know, the username and password is pretty sensitive to people. But the Australian government has come out with a regulation, which is called Consumer Data Rights, CDR in short. And that's about you as a consumer owning your own data. And the first cab off the rank was banking. That's called open banking. And that would be open energy as well, and open telco. And so we're pioneers in the open banking space. And so what that meant is we classically would have to use your username and password to bring in your transactions. Now, in a regulated way, we're able to connect to your bank and be able to pull 12 months worth of transactions so that we can start to see trends in the way that you spend. And this is just one part of an evolution of what we call open finance, which is you as a consumer owning your own data and being able to share it to get better outcomes for yourself.
And that's effective as of this year. So that's happening now. I mean, is there like a green button they have to press on the app? How does it work?
Yeah. So the initiative started in 2020, actually, but it only started with the four majors. And now that we, you know, two and a half years in, if that's correct calculations, that, you know, we've now got 114 what we call data holders, which is essentially banks, that are able to share. So the way that it works is that you as a consumer consent to sharing specific data clusters, so data types. And so that would be your account balance or your transactions or your customer information. And you consent for a period of time. And so after that consent period is over, the data gets removed, and that we have to tell you on a regular basis, every 90 days, that we are still using your data. So if we go back to the old technology with screen scraping, you would connect. And if you never connected, that continual flow of your data would flow through. Now, in an open banking world, you are front and center of your own data, and you can withdraw that, or you can continue to renew that consent because you see value in it. And this is all about, you know, being able to, you know, really, I'm not going to get this word right, but unmonopolize the big banks.
Yes.
And be able to have smaller players come in and be able to add values to the consumer so that you can get a better outcome.
It strikes me that it just allows us the choice to provide our data as and when we see fit. Because all of us, we live busy lives. So once we've kind of put in our information, we kind of forget about it. And before you know it, you know, a few years have passed. But this, you're saying that there's a regular check-in saying, hey, are you still okay for us to look at your data to provide you these features for the app, for example? So I think that is a good one. And we always talk about fraud and spam and security breaches with banks. How does this new rule kind of impact that?
Because it's a very regulated regime. And so there, to become a credited party, you need to fulfill a number of different obligations. And so those obligations lift up the barrier of entry to enter into the field, which can be a good thing and a bad thing.
Mm.
But it just means that it is highly regulated, highly secure, and you require a number of different ticks before being able to access those rails.
That's great. That's great. Because we do want to keep our data safe. And like you said, that's one of the reasons some people don't like using finance apps, for example, because you just don't know what's the security behind it. And just to wrap up, any new features that you're working on, or what can people expect from Frollo in the year ahead?
Yeah, okay. So as from a product perspective, you know, my goal is to be able to connect your whole financial life inside our platform. And that's not just a, you know, the end goal would be, you know, you're able to connect your crypto, you're able to connect your stocks, you're able to connect your banking, and even a new feature that we're just about to launch, which is manual assets and liabilities. So being able to track, you know, your home, your car, really so that you can completely get that 360-degree view of your finance. And the next part is about adding those toolkits that you yourself can personalize and turn on as you choose. Now, some people may not want a budget. Some people may want a goal. And some people may not want to do challenges. They may want to do challenges. And I think everyone has their own personalized journey. And that journey changes as you have kids, you get married, you retire. And so for us, it's about personalizing those experiences, but having the toolkit there readily available to use, not just for our B2C customers, but also for our partners as well. And the last part is being able to share that information in a regulated way. So whether you're going for, you know, want to use a financial planner, or you want to use, you know, you apply for a loan, once you have all that information, you experience it, you engage in it with the toolkits that are relevant to you at the time, and then being able to share that information for the people that you, you know, to move forward, whether it be financial planner or broker or bank. So that's, you know, our journey. And really, you know, our journey is about changing the financial well-being of 5 million customers by 2026. And so that really is about reducing debt and increasing savings and really having that personalized experience.
Amazing, amazing. I like the idea of everything just consolidated in the one place, because that gives me more time to watch Netflix. You know, nobody wants to be, you know, at the kitchen table trying to sort out multiple pieces of, you know, paperwork, or trying to get your details from one app and then again from another app. So that's fantastic to hear. Now, we'll have to call it a day here, Chris, but it was lovely to have you tell us more about how we spend our money, but the fact that we can save $1,288 just by becoming more conscious about our habits. Thank you once again. It's been great chatting.
Thank you, Michelle, for having us, and you know, hopefully we speak again. Thanks a lot,
of course, yes. Before we go, don't forget that if you enjoyed listening to the Friends with Money podcast, we'd love for you to recommend it to your own friends and family, or you can help us out by leaving a review on iTunes or the Apple Podcast app. You can also send in any questions, comments, or even topics you'd love for us to cover through our dedicated email, which is podcast@moneymag.com.au. We'll leave more details about Frollo in our show notes. And finally, make sure you head over to moneymag.com.au for all the latest financial news and stories. That's it for this episode. I'm Michelle Baltazar. Bye for now.
Thanks for listening to the Friends with Money podcast. For credible, independent, and easy to understand financial commentary, visit moneymag.com.au. Please remember that the views and opinions expressed in this podcast are general in nature, and further independent advice and research based on your personal circumstances should be sought before making an investment decision.